I have a mandate to serve you. Nobody else does, quite frankly. Everybody else has an interest in sending you to the electric chair.
All right.
You don't seem alarmed.
Would it help?
Well, the boss isn't always right, but he's always the boss.
Do you never worry?
Would it help?
What do you think will happen when you get home?
I think I'll have a vodka.
Yeah. But, Rudolph, is there not the possibility
that my people are going to shoot me?
Yes. You're not worried.
Would it help?
Welcome to the Philosophical Egg Timer, the podcast where philosophical ideas are scrambled up in about 5 minutes. Today, we look at the topic of Stoicism. Stoicism dates back to the ancient world, found in both ancient Greece and in ancient Rome, and was a popular philosophical view for roughly five centuries. The Stoic approach to life emphasizes not overreacting or underreacting to the present situation, but ascribing it its proper place. So, from Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment. So what Aurelius is telling us there is that our outlook and way of handling the world is within our power and control. And within this power and control, we shouldn't offer ourselves false hope, nor should we see the world in some kind of rose-colored glasses, which it isn't, but to face it head on and to develop certain internal virtues that help us deal with the world as it is. So the idea is, if you had proper knowledge, then you wouldn't get too angry when things were rough, and you wouldn't get too happy when things were great, because you would see the ebbs and flows in life. You would take that Stoic approach that recognized things for what they were, right? Now, you would also realize, if you had proper knowledge, and that's part of kind of the Stoic tradition, is an internal type of training to deal with the world as it presents itself to us. And often it doesn't present itself in a very nice way. The Stoic certainly recognizes and discusses a lot about how there are many trials and tribulations in life, but your reactions don't have an ex post facto result, right? The idea there is you can react how you wish. What's happened has happened. You aren't going to change it by being overly happy with something tremendously great, or by being overly negative and pessimistic about something bad. So another Stoic, Seneca, was having a written exchange with a friend who was fearful that he was going to lose all of his money, that he would go bankrupt from a lawsuit. So Seneca didn't give him the traditional advice that we often give to people who are worried, which is, it'll be okay. No, Seneca, like most Stoics, has fairly negative feelings about the notion of offering hope. Don't offer people hope. It might not be okay. But what Seneca does when he's addressing his friend is to say, look, kind of imagine that it goes bad for you. The sun will rise tomorrow. You'll get through it. It will be okay. There's no need to imagine it's the worst ever thing just because it's a negative aspect of your life. It'll get over and you'll be fine. So for the Stoic, this is where proper training comes in. And some of you might see the comparison here to, say, Aristotle's virtue theory, where Aristotle emphasizes the habituation of virtues. The Stoic wants you to train to get ready for the gloomy day. So a Stoic exercise might be that if you're afraid of poverty, go sleep a night on a park bench. You're not going to like it. They're not promising that you're going to like such activities, but you'll see that it's probably going to be fine. Another day will come, another day will go. There's no need to be so anxious about the possibilities that you frequently fear the most. Put yourself in that place. Feed yourself, not tremendous food, for a few days and see that you'll make it and you'll be fine, right? Now, another quote by Aurelius here is very helpful. Do not disturb yourself by picturing your life as a whole. This is also from the Meditations. Do not assemble in your mind the many and varied troubles which have come to you in the past and will come again in the future, but ask yourself with regard to every present difficulty, What is there in this that is unbearable and beyond endurance? You would be ashamed to confess it, and then remind yourself that it is not the future or what has passed that afflicts you, but always the present. And the power of this is much diminished if you take it in isolation and call your mind to task if it thinks it cannot stand up when taken on its own. So in other words, to use a popular expression today, get out of your own way. Quit imagining that you can't handle things that you think are so horrible. Because I'm not going to give you false hope and tell you that they'll be great. They might not. But they're likely not as bad as you're imagining them to be. So the Stoic doesn't equate the badness or the goodness of an event with how a person should define themselves. That's why you should temper your reactions to both something wonderful and something tragic. The Stoic person faces these in a way that separates themselves from the world around them. You are a separable being. But if you're always ebbing and flowing with the world around you, acting, you know, tragically in pain or tragically elated, you're just going with the flow of the world and not creating that self, that sense of self for yourself. Now, one application of these Stoic ideas that people might not naturally think about is in sports and athletics. Think about the notion of sportsmanship, right? When somebody suffers a tremendous defeat in sports, it's fine if they don't like it and react. We want them to, or we might think they never cared about the athletic competition to begin with. But if they go on forever and they say, woe is me, I'll never be back, this is so tragic, we eventually just say, you know, deal with it and move on. We don't want our sports stars to whine too much when they lose. We want them to be a little bit more stoic here. Same goes the other way. When somebody has a tremendous victory in sports, we don't want them to taunt the opponent. In fact, most sports have penalties for taunting, right? We don't want them to do that. We want them to be happy. They should be happy. They won. But we say, look, you won, but calibrate yourself. The old expression, I guess maybe the new expression, act like you've been there, comes to mind. So we apply stoicism to sports. We want to see the virtues of the Stoics in our athletic competitions. And I'll end this egg timer today with a couple of quotes from maybe one of the greatest Stoics in children's literature that I'm aware of, which is the creation of Alan Alexander Mine with Eeyore, right, in the Winnie and the Pooh series. So in one famous episode, Eeyore loses his tail. And the Stoic that Eeyore is, there are two associated comments that Eeyore gives about losing his tail. And these are at least in the Disney adaptation of Mine's famous works. It's okay. I'll learn to live without it. It's his tail, right? But he's gonna learn to live without it. He's going to be fine. He's going to take that Stoic approach to life. And lastly, when Pooh finds a new tail for Eeyore that isn't wonderful and attaches it to him, Eeyore's line there is, it's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it. I'm taking life as it is. I'm not going to over or underreact to the situation in which I find myself. Until next time on the Philosophical Egg Timer, wishing you good philosophical vibes.